As we begin a new sermon series, let's listen to God's word together.
The reading is from the first book of Samuel, chapter 17, beginning at verse 1. It's on page 288 of the Church Bibles. 1 Samuel, chapter 17. Now the Philistines gathered their forces for war and assembled at Soko in Judah. They pitched camp at Ephes Damim, between Soko and Azekah. Saul and the Israelites assembled and camped in the valley of Elah and drew up their battle line to meet the Philistines. The Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites another, with the valley between them. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. His height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head and wore a coat of scale armor of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels. On his legs, he wore bronze greaves, and a bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and its iron point weighed 600 shekels. His shield bearer went ahead of him. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us." Then the Philistine said, "This day I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." On hearing the Philistines' words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray together. And let's pray that we hear from God this morning. Let us pray. Father, open our hearts to what you have to say to us now. Speak through your word. Speak through your servant. Move us, encourage us, inspire us, challenge us, help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to listen to the second reading from the scripture that we're going to use this morning. It comes from Romans chapter 5. Maybe, Fred, you could put this up on the screen. And let's just listen to these words too. "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin. And in this way, death came to all people because all sinned. To be sure, sin was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not charged against anyone's account where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who is a pattern of the one to come. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Nor can the gift of God be compared with the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. The law was brought in so that the trespass might increase, but where sin increased, grace increased all the more. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I'm just moving over here to be a little bit nearer. So we begin a new sermon series today, and we're thinking about some of the hard things, the difficult things that we might face in life. Hopefully you've all picked up one of these, and you brought it with you today. Wave it at me if you've got it with you. So the idea is that you might use this and take notes. So we won't be producing notes. You get to listen intently to the preacher, and you get to write down the important points that you think God might be saying to you. And then you'll have a record through the year of what we've been doing Sunday by Sunday. So please do use that. And if you haven't got one yet, they're available for free at the back. If you want to give us £5 for them, that would be appreciated as well. But we don't want anyone to be held back by not having the money to do it. We want everyone who's a regular here to have one, and we'll give them to visitors as well and guests and new people in particular as a kind of way of welcoming them to the church. So please do use them. So today we're thinking about the story of David and Goliath. We all have Goliaths in life, the big things that weigh heavily on us, that we battle against, that we struggle against, all of us. I was away in Canada last week, and I'm not a great fan of air travel. There was a time in my life when I thought it was a great thing to do, but now it's just a hassle, the whole procedure of going through it. But I woke up on the Tuesday morning that I was going away. I checked the app on my phone to make sure my flight was okay and my seat was okay. And to my wonder and amazement, for the first time ever in life, I got excited about the fact that my seat had been upgraded from cattle class to cattle class plus. So they'd moved me from the exit row, which I'd booked, could just have a little bit more leg room. It was narrow, but at least I'd have some leg room, into World Traveler Plus. I was flying BA. So I was tremendously excited about this, and I got to sit at the front of World Traveler Plus, just through the curtain from business class, just to entice you about what could have been if I was fabulously wealthy. So I'm sitting there thinking, this is much better. And they brought me dinner, and the dinner had proper metal cutlery. Like, that is a luxury that you get, you know, to have proper metal rather than plastic. And I thought, this is quite good. You know, the guy next to me, tried to talk to him, didn't want to talk. Sometimes you get, I always pray, Lord, put me next to someone that might want to talk, and I'll engage with them and share with them. Maybe the guy next to me, absolutely no way, shut down conversation, did not want to talk. I thought, well, it's going to be a quiet flight, until this happened. As I'm sitting there, and I'm right at the front of World Travel Plus, so I've got a little screen that comes out the edge, at the end of the chair, and comes out in front of you. As I'm sitting there, and looking at the entertainment system, I felt this hand on my head. It was like this, on my head. And I jumped. I thought, what's this? And I turned around, and it was an elderly man I'd seen at check-in, kind of wandering around with a younger man with him. And I suddenly, it dawned on me what was going on here. Here was this older man who was struggling with some kind of Alzheimer's or something like that. And he wandered, I used my head as a support, and then he grabbed my screen and kind of pulled the screen round, and then wandered along the front of the bulkhead seat. And at this point, everybody around me is going, what's going on? And the old man had his son in tow who was going along apologizing for what his dad, it was clearly his dad, was doing. He was really struggling with being in a confined space for eight and a half, 9 hours. And he was finding it really, really hard. Because my initial reaction was I was quite angry that this old man would use my head as a support, as you might. Most of us would react like that. And then as I thought about it, maybe simply because I knew what I was preaching about today, I realized that family, that young man, the Goliath in his life right now, the thing that he was struggling with was the fact that his dad was in the state that he was in. And actually, maybe it's just as well because my dad had gone through something similar before he passed away in the autumn, that we should have compassion and concern and think, how can we best help that young man look after his father? And the cabin crew were fabulous. Of course, they didn't quite know what to do because they don't think they got that sort of situation very often, because this old man wanted to wander up and down into business class, and business class, that just wouldn't have been acceptable. I think they would have struggled with that. But they handled him beautifully and with compassion. But it just reminded me of the giants that every single person has in their life. And we will have giants here. It might be something to do with your work, your employment, that is a massive issue for you right now. It might be something to do with your family, a family member or several family members. It might be to do with your health. There is a struggle there, an issue, a pain, a worry, a concern. It might be to do with church life. There's a huge issue. Often we have things going on in church life that become Goliaths for us, and we can see nothing other than the giant that lies before us. It becomes all-encompassing. It takes over our life. What do we do in the face of the giants that we experience? The story of David and Goliath is often used as an example of what we should do when we face those huge challenges. But I often think it's interpreted in a strange way. The battle that was being fought in the Valley of Elah, just bring up the first slide for us, Fred, just to give you the geography. If you know the geography of Israel and Judah, this is where the battle was taking place. And we have a photograph of the Valley of Elah in the current day, in the present day. Can you bring up the second slide, Fred, if it will come up? There we are. So this is where this battle was fought, the two opposing forces. The Philistines had been terrorizing the people of Israel for a long time. And the two opposing forces had an extra struggle because the Philistines put up their champion, Goliath, 9 feet tall. A huge figure. Not only a fighter, but he was good with his words as well. If you listen to the words that Sue read for us, his challenge wasn't just physical, it was in what he said. You ever felt had faced a situation where people could be a bit lippy with you and give you a lashing with their tongue. People were quite sharp with you. Goliath was one of these people as well. Their reaction is there for all to see a bit later on in the chapter. We might go through the rest of the chapter to help us understand better what's going on. But they were totally intimidated by what they saw. The Israelites were fearful of what lay before them. That's what Scripture tells us. They were afraid of what lay before them. And the thing is this, the first thing that we might learn this morning is that when we face a giant in life, we need to have a slightly better perspective on it. You see, in this story, sometimes what people say is that David is us and Goliath is whatever problem we face. And we'll talk about battles like that, don't we? A David and Goliath struggle. Like there's a David and Goliath struggle, we think, happening this afternoon at a place called Murrayfields. Guess which one is David? And it's not the French, obviously. We talk about it in those terms, but actually, I wonder if we've got the perspective completely and utterly wrong. We're not David in the story. We're not David. We're actually the Israelite army. That's who we're meant to see ourselves as. Not as David, the little guy who can defeat the big guy, but as the Israelite army who are completely fearful and unsure about what to do. And we need a better perspective. So if we read on in chapter 17, we read this. Whenever the Israelites saw the man, they all fled in great fear. So imagine this situation. Someone comes out to do battle. It's Goliath. Run away! The Israelites run away in fear. Now, the Israelites had been saying, do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. So they know what the problem is. The reason he's coming out is to defy and intimidate God's people. Verse 26 says this, David asked the men standing near him, what will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised or pagan Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? So here's this young man, a shepherd boy, who asks, what is the problem? Who is this guy and what is the problem? He identifies what the problem is and asks what will be done for the person who removes this. And notice David's analysis, diagnosis of the situation, this disgrace from Israel, who defies the armies of the living God. You see, David's perspective is a little bit bigger than just being fearful and intimidated. His thought is about the honor and the glory of God. Do you remember in the New Testament it says this, Romans 8 and verse 31? Where Paul writes, if God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? David seems to be someone who recognized that God was on the side of the Israelites, and they needed to have a bigger perspective. Paul in Ephesians writes this, chapter 1, verses 18 to 21, if you're taking notes. Ephesians 1, verses 18 to 21. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. See, Paul recognized the importance of looking at the difficult situation and having a different perspective. Last Sunday, I was in church in Lethbridge in Alberta, and at the end of the service, I was getting a coffee, and a lady came up to me and said, "Oh, hello." Canadians are very friendly people, and it was terrific to be there. But she wanted to engage in conversation, and she began the conversation like this. She said, "She once we'd introduced ourselves, she said, my husband and I, Jerry, my husband Jerry, her name is Stacy, my husband and I have got big giants, we've got huge giants to defeat in our life." And my ears pricked up at that point, because I thought, this woman's got something that I need to hear, because I knew what I was preaching on this Sunday. We've got huge giants, big giants in our lives just now. And she began to talk about what these things were, the difficulties were. And then she said, "Do you know, the thing is, the giants that are in our life, we need to look up and beyond the giant that we're facing and keep looking up and looking for God and what God wants to do in the situation." And I thought, wow, that's a really powerful kind of witness. And after what she told me, what she shared with me of what was happening in her life and business troubles and people giving them personal physical threats and all sorts of things going on, to have that perspective, to have a godly perspective. You see, David in the story is not us. David is the one who is the Savior. He's the one who God is going to use to deliver the armies of Israel, the people of Israel, from the threat that Goliath of Gath and the Philistines represented. And of course, what that's pointing to ultimately is the one who delivers us from the power of death and the power of sin. Looking beyond our problems to realize that the problems are real and we need to acknowledge them and we need to be honest about them. We need to be real about the issues that we face, not deny them, but we also need to recognize that these things are part of life, this life is but temporary, and there is a greater, bigger story, and there is one who redeems us from the power of death and sin. So often in life, we fail to do that. We fail to keep our perspective focused on the glories of the Lord, of the glory of Jesus. And so perhaps one thing that we might learn this morning is to get a better perspective on the giant. Whatever the giant is in our life, and later on we're going to be thinking about anxiety and addictions and all the things that can take up, that can have power in our life, that there is one who is more powerful than any giant that we might come against. Will we do that this morning? Will we get a better perspective? You see, Jerry and Stacy, that couple, last Sunday, they were perhaps giving us another lesson that we might learn from this story of David and Goliath. You see, they were saying, the giants in our life, there is one greater than even the giants that we're facing, and we're trying to keep our eyes focused on him. And basically what they're doing is they're saying, you know, the giant is dead. The giant that we faced has no power over us because there is one who has defeated the power of death and sin. You see, we read about it in chapter 17 a bit later on. If you turn to verse 51, David has done is battling. In 51, it tells us this. David ran and stood over Goliath. He took hold of the Philistine's sword and drew it from the sheath. After he killed him, he cut off his head with the sword. It's a rather gruesome story. If you ever watch Game of Thrones, I always like to check this. Anyone watch Game of Thrones? No, it's just three of us. It's all staff members, Jane, that watch Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones is really quite bloody and graphic, but the Bible was doing bloody and graphic a long time before Game of Thrones came along. And the point in the story is this. Goliath is defeated through not just the wee guy, but through the power of God. And notice what happens next. As soon as David returned from killing the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before King Saul with David still holding the Philistine's head, verse 57. And the point is this, David went to tell Saul what had happened. And that's the great thing, isn't it? We have a great story to tell. Whatever the giants are in our lives, whatever the giants, our family and our friends experience in life, we can point them to the one who will deliver them from the power that the giant has over them. At the end of the service, we'll be talking about an opportunity to pray for people who live in this road, on Glasgow Road, in the coming month or so. But we have a story to tell, and it is our calling, our duty, our responsibility, and our joy to tell people about Jesus, who defeats the giants in our life. That doesn't mean to say it's easy. So if we get a better perspective on the giant, we can tell others that the giant is dead. We can tell ourselves the giant is dead. There's a third thing that we might do, and that's to take time to worship. That passage that I read at the beginning of the talk this morning from Romans 5 reminds us of that. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. And so Paul writes there about Jesus and what God has done for us in Christ through his Son dying on the cross to set us free from the greatest giant in our lives, which is sin. Paul points to Christ and all that he has done for us in defeating sin. David himself knew what it was to rejoice in God's help and God's strength. When we read the Psalms, we see this so clearly. He had good days and he had bad days. This is part of life. You will have good days and you will have bad days. And sometimes our days are really, really, really bad. Some of you will have had really bad days this week. I wonder what you did when the bad day came upon you. David speaks about that in the Psalms a lot. But he also writes about the positive benefits of realizing that God defeats the giants in life. It is through the power of God that that happens. For example, Psalm 16 and verse 9. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices, my body will also rest secure. Yesterday, I came across the story of Simon Thomas. Simon is a sports commentator for Sky Sports. You might have heard about him. If you don't watch Sky Sports, I don't watch Sky Sports, but I heard about him because in November, it was quite a news item that he had got, his wife had got blood cancer. And 3 days after the diagnosis, she passed away. So it was in the news. It was quite a big news story at the time. 3 days after hearing this terrible news that his wife has cancer, she's gone. But what wasn't known at the time was everything else that had been going on in their lives. And they had a little boy, I think called Ethan. And his wife was called Gemma, I think. And they had a little boy together, but they wanted more family. And so they'd sort of tried and tried, and it wasn't happening for them. And then they went on, he started using IVF after a lot of thought and prayer. They started using IVF, and that just didn't work either. So that was a hard burden for them to carry. A huge thing, a giant in their life. Then Simon was due to broadcast. And he just had a breakdown before he was due to broadcast. He went, I had a breakdown, and then he went and broadcast, and he thought the whole world would see what was going on, but apparently broadcast really well. Sometimes when people are depressed, they just outperform themselves. I've experienced that myself. They just appear as if everything is normal. But inside, he was crumbling, and he did this broadcast, got through it, and then he went off sick with depression for a long time. And then he started getting panic attacks. He was out with his friends for a drink, and he wandered away from them and went into a field and was contemplating suicide. And in the middle of a field, he didn't know how he would take his own life. He didn't know what he would do. But he was thinking about that. And when his friends realized that he'd gone, and they came to find him, and he just said, no, I've just gone into the field to find a toilet in the middle of the field, like you do. And they kind of retrieved them and took him back. So here's Simon in this terrible situation of not having another child, suffering panic attacks and depression. And his wife is a rock in the midst of that. She's going through all of this herself, but she's trying to give him confidence and support him as much as she can. And then the Lord takes her. She dies. Man, that's about as bad as it can get. And I, you know, when I read this, I was in tears. But Simon and his wife are believers. But even believers struggle. And he tells this story, and at the end of it, this is what he says. He begins to talk a little bit about his faith and what that means to him. This is what he says. Now, I find myself confused and fearful. I'm grieving my dear wife, but at times also questioning where on earth I'm at with all the stuff I had battled with before. I've no idea where I'm at or how I'll get through this, but all I know is this. As a lifelong Christian, I don't pretend to have the answers, but what I do have is hope. An eternal hope. When I struggle to make sense of the mess of my life, I ask how it can be that Ethan will grow up without his mum. And I think of this verse from the Bible. Please put up the last slide, Fred. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. Simon goes on and says, right now, all I can muster is the strength to hold on to that rock and try my best to try and be as godly a dad as I can for Ethan and trust that out of this fog of grief, all that I felt before will clear as well. And then he says this, a little bit of counsel, if you like. For those reading this who understand, don't suffer in silence. Like me, remember, you didn't choose to be this way. Don't sit on and bury the uncomfortable murmurings of mental illness. Talk. Talk to your other half. Talk to those friends you trust. Try and open your heart and your mind and allow the soothing balm of openness to begin to heal. Compared to others, my experience is limited, but this is all I can offer. And you know what? I think it is amazing that he has clung to faith and trust in the Lord who is his rock. In the face of the giants, he's seeking to look beyond the giants that are there and to see the Lord behind and beyond and above, and to focus on the eternal. At the end of the day, maybe that's all we can do, is rest on the eternal hope that Paul talks about in Romans chapter 5. Whatever the giants you face this morning, we all have them. May we be able to do that with one another and for one another, to look beyond the giant, to look at the Lord, to rest on him, to rely on him, to call on him, to talk to one another, to support one another, to care and love for one another, and to remember that Jesus has defeated every giant. Let's pray. And so, Father, we come to you in our brokenness and our frailty. You know the giants we face this morning. And for some of us, these seem insurmountable, undefeatable. And yet we're reminded this morning of what you've done for the whole world in the redemption that Jesus' blood has bought and brought for all of us. Help us this morning to gaze upon him again, to gaze with amazement at the love that you shower upon us. Help us to bring the giants to you, knowing that we can't defeat them on our own. We need your strength and we need your help. Thank you, Father, for Jesus, who conquered death, who conquered sin. He took my sin and bore it upon himself, in himself, on the cross. What an amazing Savior, the greatest giant of all, my sin. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for Jesus. And may we be a church that helps one another to face up to the giants, to stand up to the giants. We are the Israelite people. We need a Savior, and that is Jesus. But help us, Lord, to stand with one another, shoulder to shoulder, ready to help one another face the giants that there are in our lives with love and care and compassion. And all this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.